I want to thank you for being here. Look at this great crowd, and we've had great services all weekend. And again, we have services on Thursday night in here, and also Agua Dulce, Woodland Hills, Porter Ranch. And next weekend, we start a brand new campus in Simi Valley. And inside your bulletin, there's a little flyer. I want you to kind of grab that. That tells you about these other campuses that we have. But you'll note that next weekend at 9 and 11 is the grand opening. It's over on the far side of Simi Valley. Years ago, we actually started that church. And it was kind of we started it as an independent church. And they've kind of come back to us after a lot of different things have transpired and said, hey, would you like to consider it to be one of your campuses? And so we decided to do that. And young Caleb Walden is going to be leading that campus, so we're excited about that. And I'd like to encourage you, if you live out there or if you know someone that lives out there, give them that insert and invite them. And even if you just go out for 3 months or 6 months and help them get established. You know, anytime we do something new, it takes a while to get our legs underneath us. And so don't go out there and be critical. Go out there and be patient and get involved and just understand that it will take us a while to get that thing up and running, but we need people like you to help it get started. Amen. And we got to get out of this mindset if something happens that we don't like, we just quit and go somewhere else. That's not the church. The church is built by faithful people who are there through the good times and through the bad times. I want to encourage you there. But that'll be next weekend. And then also inside your bulletin, right before I preach, there's another insert on our next trip to Israel. Some of you went last year. And if you have any interest in going, you need to be at that meeting tonight at 6 o'clock inside this room. We'll be sharing all the information on that. But it's time to get serious about that if you're thinking about going. Now, inside your bulletin, we're in a brand new series. We're ending this series called Deep Water. We're starting a new series next week. We're going to be preaching through the book of Hebrews, just so you know. But today's the last message in this series where we're looking at stories in the Bible that have faith and a thing called water. And I don't know if you noticed, but it rained again last night and yesterday. Only God can do all that. I want to thank Preacher Walling, Jeff, for preaching last week on water coming out of a rock. But grab your outline. I want to speak to you on a subject, a sermon I preach about every 10 years around here because you need to be reminded of it. On this subject, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. And take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Next year, just to give you a little hint, we're going to be talking a lot about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Specifically, Matthew 24, we're going to go through this entire chapter next year. But today, I just want to look at a little passage within this large chapter that talks about when Jesus Christ is going to return and what that's going to look like. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so as you study all the signs, make sure you study the story of Noah, because that's what it's going to be like when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. I heard about a man on a street corner talking to another man, and he asked him, do you know what the two biggest problems in our world are today? And the man said, listen, I don't know and I don't care. And the first man said, you have both of the problems. Because the two greatest problems in our world today are ignorance and indifference. And in this life, there are things that we cannot and should not be ignorant of and dare not be indifferent to. And at the top of that list are details concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ and the end of this world as we know it. The Bible teaches clearly that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. In fact, we have more scriptures in the Bible concerning the second coming of Jesus than we have scriptures concerning the first coming of Jesus. So look at Matthew chapter 24, just to kind of lay the stage. We're going to go look at some other scriptures, and then we'll come back to this later. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 35, that heaven and earth, everybody say earth. I want you to just tap the ground. You're sitting there in that ground. The Bible says that heaven and earth will one day pass away, but my words will never pass away. Verse 36, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And here's the verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be kind of like that when Jesus Christ returns. Now take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 towards the end of the New Testament and write this down in your notes. One day, God is going to destroy this world by fire. Everybody say fire. I want you to say it three times. Ready? Fire, fire, fire. That's what the Bible says. You say, preacher, are you sure about this? Well, we're going to read it right now. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read this large portion of text. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, everybody say last days. In the last days, scoffers will come scoffing. That's what scoffers do. They scoff. They make fun. They ridicule. They laugh. They go, you people are crazy. Jesus is never coming back. Exactly. In the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires, and they will say, well, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By that same word, what's the same word? Well, it's God's word. And what the Bible is saying, the very words that spoke and created the heavens and spoke and created the sun, the moon, the stars, the same word that spoke and created earth, the same word that spoke and brought about the flood, the one who spoke those words, that same power has the words by the same word. The present heavens and earth are reserved for, what's it say? Fire. Being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. There are many times where I look at what's going on in our world today, and I say, Lord, why don't you come back now? And the Lord says, hey, I'm patient. I'm waiting until, I don't want anyone to perish. And again, the part of this sermon is not designed for any other purpose except to make sure you're not ignorant or indifferent to what's going to happen. But the point of all this is that you would repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that day, the day of the Lord, will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Again, I don't share this with you to scare you. I share this with you so you won't be ignorant. You won't be indifferent to what's around the corner. And the ultimate goal is for you to come to Jesus and to come to Jesus today. So one day out there in the future when you don't expect it, God's going to return. He's going to destroy this earth by fire. And the question is, the next question is, why would he do that? And the answer, you can write this down, is that God is just. That's why. God is just. If you go about seven books to the left, you'll find 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want you to write this down in your notes. God will one day reward those who believe in him, and he's going to punish those who reject him. That makes sense, because God is a just God. And he's going to reward those of you who've lived for him, and he's going to punish those who have rejected him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to read these three verses. Verse 6, the very first three words read, God is just, and he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And when will this happen? Well, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, when he returns in blazing fire. There's that word again. And with his powerful angels. Now look at verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God, and he will punish those who do not obey the gospel of who? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me get this straight. One day the Lord's going to come back. He's going to destroy this earth by fire. He's going to punish those who do not know God, and he's going to punish those who do not obey the gospel. The next logical question is, what is the gospel? If that's the mark of who he punishes and who he doesn't punish, preacher, tell me what the gospel is. Well, in your notes, we're going to first of all talk about the definition of the gospel, what we call the gospel defined. Over in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, we find a definition of the gospel. And just stay with me as we go through this scripture, and then I'll keep your attention from then on, okay? I promise. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he says, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you've received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. Okay, so if you don't have the gospel, you're going to be lost. He said, by this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Now here's the definition of the gospel. He's going to explain it to us right here. Verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance. This is the gospel, that Christ, number one, he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Secondly, he was buried according to the scriptures. And number three, he was raised on the third day according to the what? According to the scriptures. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel defined. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But next, let's talk about what does it mean to obey the gospel? If the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, how do we obey? We've seen the gospel defined, but what is the gospel obeyed? Well, we have to go back to our left one more book, to the book of Romans, to a passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about baptism. And here's what the Bible says. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his what? in his resurrection. So the gospel defined is the death, burial, and resurrection. The way we obey that gospel is when we come in faith and we put our trust in Jesus and the work that he did on the cross when he died for our sins. And we believe that he was taken off that cross and buried. And we also believe that miraculously on the third day, he came back out of that grave. And so those couple of weeks ago, we had close to 400 people who came and said, hey, I want to be baptized. I want to acknowledge that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he resurrected. And I too want to die to myself. I want to bury the old person. And as I come up out of that water, it's symbolic of the new me. Now, there's nothing magical about the water. The water's just water. It's just water. It's all it is. But it's your faith in Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. And when you're baptized, you are proclaiming that you believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he resurrected. So that's the gospel obeyed. Now, with all that in mind, I want to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? There was a man named Mr. Girardi. He was one of the first ever self-made millionaires in the United States. And he dabbled in all kinds of things. But one day there was an immigrant who came to him and asked him for a job. The immigrant had dirty clothes. He needed a bath. He didn't smell very good. He had broken English, but he asked Mr. Girardi for a job. Mr. Girardi looked at him. He said, young man, you see over there by the silo, that big pile of bricks? He said, yes. He said, I want you to take those bricks and move them all the way over here by the barn. It was about 75 yards away. There's a barn over there. Take those bricks and move them over there, but stack them just like they're stacked over here. I just want them moved over here. He said, yes, sir. The immigrant worked all day long. Took him all day to move those bricks and stack them over here by the barn. Got his money and went home. The next day he came back. He said, Mr. Girardi, can I have a job today? Mr. Girardi looked at him. He said, son, do you see those bricks over there by the barn? He said, yes. He said, I've changed my mind. I want you to move those bricks back over here to the silo where they were the day before. He looked at him. He said, yes, sir. He worked all day long through the heat of the day and moved all those bricks right back where they were the day before. Got his money and went home. Came back the next day and said, can I have a job? Mr. Girardi looked at him and said, yes, you can. If you're willing to do it, you see those bricks over there by the silo? He said, yes. He said, I want those bricks moved back over here to the barn. I've changed my mind again. Will you move the bricks and put them back? He said, yes, sir. He worked again all day long. Came back the next day. He said, can I have a job? Mr. Girardi said, yeah, do you see that pile of bricks by the barn? I would have said, I know them by name, sir. I know them by name. He said, I want you to take those bricks and I want you to move them back by the silo. Now, you and I wouldn't work for a man like Mr. Girardi. You would have quit. You would have said, I'm not working for an idiot. I would have said, Mr. Girardi, why don't I just come back here every other day and those bricks will be right where you want them. That's what I would have said. Mr. Girardi said, you see that pile of bricks? He said, yes, sir. I want you to move them back and put them back by the solid. He said, yes, sir. He worked through the heat of the day and moved all those bricks right back where they were. Got his money, went home, came back the next day and said, can I have a job? And Mr. Girardi looked at him and said, young man, have you ever bought any cotton? He said, no. He said, do you know anything about cotton? He said, no. He said, I want you to learn all about cotton, and I want you to go down to the cotton mill. I want you to buy and purchase the finest cotton you can buy. And when they ask you how you're going to pay for it, you just say, I'm going to charge it to Mr. Girardi. He said, okay. He went down to the cotton mills, and he started learning about cotton. He started making bid, literally tens of thousands worth of dollars worth of cotton. And they said, how are you going to pay for it? And he said, charge it to Mr. Girardi. And so the people down at the mill, they actually went to Mr. Girardi. They said, sir, we don't understand. There's a man down here who needs a bath. His clothes are tattered. He can hardly speak English. And he's buying tens of thousands of dollars of cotton, and he's charging it to you. Why do you have a man like that working for you? And Mr. Girardi said, I've looked my entire life for someone who would do whatever I ask, no matter how insignificant the task, and wouldn't argue with me and just say, yes, sir. And he said, I finally found that man. That's why he's working for me. And the reason I tell you that story today is because I honestly believe there are many people here today who believe that when you die, that God's just going to let you into heaven because God should let you into heaven. When your entire life here on this earth, you're not living for Him, you're not serving Him, you're not following Him, you're not obeying Him, you're not doing that which He asks you to do. And I think that God, I believe this, in some ways, He gets tired of hearing all of our excuses. When God, who knows so much more, asks us to do something, you know, God, I don't want to do that. That doesn't make sense to me. I think God is saying, in a way, he's waiting for someone who'll say, God, whatever you ask, I'll do. Wherever you lead, God, I will follow. Whatever you need, God, I will give to you. And whatever I want, Lord, whatever you want, Lord, it's yours. That's who God's looking for today. And I believe that in a sense, when God asks us to be baptized and to follow Him, put our faith and trust in Him, that you and I should just say, yes, sir, whatever you want, God, I'll follow, I'll obey. And all God's people said. Now, we come to the third point. I want to go back to Matthew 24. Go back to Matthew 24. And thank you for listening to all that. Amen. How many of you are here today, you're not mad yet? You'll say, Pastor, I'm not mad. You've not made me mad yet. Raise your hand. Say, I'm not mad yet. Okay, because some of you are mad. Some of you are not mad yet. Well, I want to explain to you, best I can, what this world is going to be like when it's on fire. This might make some of you mad. But I don't want you to be ignorant, and I don't want you to be indifferent. Amen? Number one, write this down. All physical things will be over. All physical things will be over when this world's on fire. All the things that you and I focus on every day, for the most part, is physical. And those things will be over. Number one, write this down. The world of sports and athletics will be over. All week long in the news feeds, I've had to listen to how Taylor Swift is dating a player for the Kansas City Chiefs named Travis Kelce, and she went to the football game last week, and supposedly they're dating, and guess what? She's going to go again today. Ticket sales have gone through the roof. His jersey has sold more jerseys than any other jersey. This is ridiculous. Now, I'm not against all that. She can date whoever she wants to date, amen. There is no one in this room who likes sports more than me. I mean, college football is in full swing. It's the best time of the year. The NFL is underway. The Cowboys are losing again last week. The Ryder Cup is this weekend. The NBA has begun their preseason warm-ups. The hockey season is getting ready to start back up. The baseball playoffs are right around the corner. Some of you don't know this, but today there's a NASCAR race in Talladega. I know these things. You don't. I keep track of these things. And I'm officially addicted to pickleball. I just want you to know. And we're going to start a 12-step program here at this church for pickleball players. You need to know that. But when the Lord says it's time and He's going to return and everything in this world is destroyed, you need to know that the world of athletics will be over. Number two, write this down. The world of politics will be over. Maybe you didn't hear me. I say when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, politics will be over. Number three, write this down. Money and material goods, all that's going to be done with. All be over with. Sometime I want you to do it. Don't do it now. I want you to get a piece of paper, maybe half a piece. And I want you to write down your net worth. Don't write down your debts. We don't have enough space for that. But if you have any money in the bank, get that number, write that number down. If you have any equity in your house, write that number down. If you have money in your mattress, write that down. If you have any equity in your car, if you got a diamond ring or something and it's worth something and you sold it, figure out, and you should know this, on a piece of paper, in a box, on that piece of paper, write, come up with a figure of what you're worth, your net worth. When this world is on fire, every single dime that you're worth will be worthless. And you will trade, whatever that number is, you would trade everything in that box for 1 square inch of heaven. Number four, write this down. All hobbies will be over. You say, well, I don't play sports. That's not who I am. Okay. You say, I like to sew. Okay, good. Good for you. You're a sewer. Maybe you're a shopper. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you play solitaire. You play words with friends. You like going on hikes and walks. Maybe you hang out at the beach. I got a guy in the church. His name's Tariq Fatal. He's like a son to me, really, truly like a son. You know what his hobby is? He travels all over the San Fernando Valley, and he writes reviews on breakfast burritos. That's his hobby. But when this world's on fire, there's going to be no more sports, no more politics, no more money, no more hobbies. How many of you say, I'm still not mad, Pat? You haven't made me mad yet, Pastor. I'm not mad yet. Good for you. Write this down, number five. No more sex. Sex will be over. Yes, I said that. You see, because everything in this world is physical. And one day it's all going to burn up. The only thing that's going to matter is that which is spiritual. And we're going to a spirit world. Amen. Some people say, well, I don't want to go then. If I can't have hobbies and my money and my house and my pleasure, I'm not going. Listen, heaven is going to be a billion, zillion, quadzillion times greater than anything in this life. Everything you see in this earth, God did in 6 days. And he's been working on your heavenly home for thousands and thousands of years. Imagine how great that place is going to be. But there are people here today who are living in sin because of pleasure. And they've rejected God because if they know if they really are going to follow God, they've got to give up this pleasure stuff. And so they go, you know what, okay, I'm going to probably go to hell. It's okay. I'll be okay. It's going to be a little hot up there. And I'll have to live in an asbestos house. I'll have to wear asbestos clothes. I'll have to wear asbestos shoes. There won't be any air conditioning. It's going to be stuffy. But I'll be holding hands with my lover. And we're going to get through this together. No, no, no. You'll be screaming at the top of your lungs, God, get me out of here. You'll be saying, God, I was wrong. I made wrong decisions. I sought after the physical things of this world instead of the spiritual. Oh, don't think you're going to be down there going, oh, I'll get through this somehow. Oh, it's going to be torturous. When this world's on fire, all physical things will pass away. But secondly, write this down. This world is going to be on fire at a time that no one expects. You say, when's this going to happen? Nobody knows. That's why you got to be ready. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, be ready.
Now let's go back and read this and see what this says. Verse 36. Now pay attention. Pay attention. Everybody say pay attention. I'm almost finished. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was, and they say, when's all this going to happen? As it was, you study all the signs. Here's a sign. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married, and they were given in marriage and having all that bachelor stuff and all the wedding stuff up to the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 42, these are Jesus's words. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Who said that? Jesus does not want you to be ignorant, and he doesn't want you to be indifferent to the fact that one day he's coming back. Amen? Now, my pianist is going to start playing here. I've been preaching at this church for 37 years. That's almost four decades. And every time I come out here, I feel like I'm under attack. Not one time have I come out here in 37 years where I think, hey, this is great. I walk out here in my heart, you don't know this, I am under attack. And there's a spiritual battle that's being waged for every single person. I say, I look at all you, you're looking at me, but I'm looking at all you. And I understand that the words of God and the truth of Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross, that one day the Lord's gonna come back and this earth's gonna burn up and God's gonna judge this whole world. And the only thing that's going to matter at that time is, do you know God? And have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I know that when I'm preaching that there's this battle that's being fought for you to hear this. Satan wants to blind your eyes. He wants to distract you. That's why sometimes I get upset when a baby starts crying or somebody gets up and walks out and everybody looks at him, because it's this spiritual battle that I'm under. And when I leave and go behind that curtain, I am totally exhausted. It's not from the sermon, because I'm in physical shape. It's the spiritual battle that I feel. Just exhausted. And it's discouraging when you preach and no one responds. It's the worst. Noah preached for 100 years and no one responded. God came to Noah one day and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. He said, what's that? He said, it's a big boat. Why? Well, because it's time. I'm going to judge this world. And the Bible says, you go back and read Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, read right in there, talks about how God was grieved that he had made man, and the only inclination in the hearts of man all the time was nothing but evil. And so God told Noah to build this ark. It was 450 feet long. A football field is 300 feet long. So this ark was larger than the Rose Bowl. It was larger than the Colosseum. And I believe that on Friday nights, they didn't have football back in those days, that on Friday nights, the locals would go down with a six-pack and sit on their pickup trucks and look at Noah. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Well, you're a little bit of an overachiever, aren't you? It's kind of a large structure. I know, but this is exactly what God told me to do. Why are you building this? Well, God said that there's going to be a flood. A flood? No. We hadn't had a flood around here in 1,000 years. What are you talking about, a flood? So God says he's bringing a flood. And he also said the only people that are going to be saved are the people that are inside this boat. Why don't you get a hammer and come help me? We'll build this thing together. And when the floods come, we'll go inside the ark and we'll be safe. Oh, they thought that was the funniest thing. Noah, you are a fool. You're a fool. Noah just kept building, kept preaching. One day they go down there and they got all these animals. There's 2 giraffes, there's 2 elephants, there's 2 tigers, there's 2 snakes, there's 2 pigs, there's 2 dogs, and there's 2 cats. Noah, what are you doing with all these animals? Oh, listen, God told me to get these animals down here. We're gonna get inside this boat because the flood's about to come. It's coming, the flood is coming. The flood is coming, the flood is coming. Don't be ignorant, don't be indifferent. The flood is coming, come, help me. When it comes, we'll get on board this boat, we'll be saved. They went down there a week later. The animals are all gone. Noah's gone. And where'd they go? They could hear the animals faintly. They're inside. What? Why? And I think they made fun of Noah. Is it Noah? Look at me, Noah. I'm drowning, Noah. I'm drowning. Scoff for scoff. I'm swimming out here, Noah. Look at me. I'm drowning. Some guy said, hey, Noah, I bet it stinks in there. And after a while, they said, Noah, come on, man. We've had a good laugh. Come out of there, Noah. You've carried this thing too far. Come on out of there. Finally, they just went home. They said, this guy is an idiot. He's a fool. He's a nutcase. He's lost his marbles. They go home. One day they were out in the field. It's like a week later. They're out working in the fields. And they look up and they see something they'd never seen before. It was a cloud. They'd never seen a cloud before. So, well, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says up to that point that it had never rained on the surface of the earth, that God had watered the earth by a mist. So they're out working in the fields about 2 o'clock. They look up and they see something white and fluffy up. What is that? It's a cloud. And they saw another one. They saw another one. And then the wind started to blow. The temperature started to drop. All of a sudden, the entire sky is full of clouds, dark clouds. They all go home. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and their wives go, what are you doing home? I know that happened. Oh, honey, you won't believe there's something strange going on outside. You've got all these clouds, and there's a wind, and it's like, it's crazy. Get out of here. We're not ready for dinner. Get out of my hair. Come back at 6 o'clock. Okay. So all the men met down at the marketplace. And they're looking up. And the wind really starts to blow. And the entire sky now is dark. It starts to get cold. And all of a sudden, there's a bolt of lightning through the sky. A thunder. And they're looking up. What is that? What? It's wet. Starts to rain. The Bible says it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That God unleashed the windows of heaven, and the Bible says that water came from above and water came from below. And there came a moment, stay with me, where every single person that Noah had preached to As the water began to rise above their ankles, above their calves, above their knees, above their hips, and they started to realize that they were gonna drown in a flood, that they ran with all their might down to that ark. I know it. When it dawned on them, and they began to bang on the side of the ark, and they said, "Noah, Noah, let us in. You were right. We were wrong. God was right. We were wrong. Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in." And inside that ark, Noah got down on his knees. And he said, "God, I've been preaching for 100 years. For 100 years, I begged them to come to get ready." And they said, "No, God, please let me just open the door and reach out and just grab a few of them." And God said, "Noah, I gave them 100 years. And I made the decision, it's time." And God said, "I shut the door and I'm the only one that can open it. And it's too late." And in the same way, stay with me. You're not mad at me yet. You're going to be mad at me right now. I believe that in the same way that people said, "God, stop the water. God, stop the water." There's going to be people that are going to say, "God, stop the fire. Stop the fire." It's going to be too late. Nothing I said today was to scare you. It was to make you so that you're not ignorant and you're not indifferent to what's going to happen one day. So write this down. When the world's on fire, all physical things will pass away. It's going to happen one time no one expects, but at the time to say yes to Jesus will be too late. Because now is the time for you to do that. And if you say yes to Jesus, you don't have to worry about any of that. But the Lord, I know some of you are worried about thinking about getting out to your car. I just want you to know that the Lord could come back before you touch your door handle. And if you're not right with God, if you've never accepted the work that Jesus did on the cross and his mercy and his grace when he did all that when we were undeserving, don't go to your car. Come down here and go through these doors and give your heart to Jesus. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, thank you for today. I know, oh, well, there's all kinds of things in the Bible that we need to know. And I'm all about the happy, good feeling type of sermon that makes us leave feeling like, "Oh man, this was a great day." But I'm also for telling the truth that one day there will be a day of judgment. And those of us that are in Christ, those of us who've obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, that's where our hope, that's where our faith, that's where our focus is on. We have nothing to worry or fear. But for someone here today who's never made a personal decision to follow Jesus, God, I hope today that you would speak to their heart and let them realize, just like in the days of Noah, people were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage, giving no thought to what was about to happen. That explains our entire nation of people who are living for themselves with no thought to the future, that one day this is all gonna end. And the only thing that will matter on that day is, were we under the blood of Jesus? Were we under the grace of Jesus? Were we under the mercy of Jesus? The one who died in our place so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and have the assurance of everlasting life. So God, if there's someone here today who's not ready, they're not prepared for that return, God, help them today, this day, to say, hey, I want to get in the ark. I want to be safe. And the ark is Jesus. I want to be in him, and him in me, for when that day happens. God, I ask your blessing on every man, woman, boy, and girl. Bring us back safely next week, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you for coming.